to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Yes, I didn't miss it. I didn't hear the news, but did they talk about still money for...
Boris threw out the line that he'd like a few billion invested in green technology, if that's all right with you. And it will be over later to see if you've got any down the back of the sofa.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think they need to sort of look at it a bit more holistically. There's no point just bunging money. I heard someone on the news that she did the green energy grant and she still can't get one fitted, and the grant runs out in a couple of days for her. She was on the other radio station.
We're going to talk to John and Barry shortly. We do need to do a bit of other stuff because she kind of deflected us at the start of this. So it's about time you read some tweets, but I'm going to read one first because I don't care.
Yeah, I've got lots of emails too.
So have I. I haven't read any of them. And obviously, we're going to do the uninterrupted FSB news later as well. Lovely folks, Steph, I believe, Michael Park Surveyors. It's Tuesday, and that means one thing. Our favourite Business Bunker radio show is on air. Are you all tuning in and listening? So thank you for that. That's the lovely folks, Michael Park Surveyors, over there in Medway, commercial property specialist.
I was reading that they said they can even help with planning permission.
Yeah, things. They can.
I've just put in for some planning permission. It's on the lamppost outside my house at the moment, Barry.
Is it really?
Yeah, if you want to swank by and have a look.
Lovely Zoe Cairns is doing a content planning live event today, so we wish her much success with that and her team at ZC Social Media. You can read something if you want, Jules.
I will. So Bluewater welcomes new restaurant, The Big Easy, in the chain's first outside London, increasing food and drink options for shopping centre visitors. I haven't been to Bluewater for years. A barbecue smokehouse, and it's not really my thing, shopping.
Is it not? I bet as you get through that email, it suddenly does become your thing.
Well, maybe with a smokehouse.
We'll read the rest of it.
I always feel that when I go in a mall, I always feel a bit ill.
Read the rest of that email.
All right. It's a barbecue smokehouse and lobster, a specialist diner, inspired by the South American, lots of fat. The South American States is the latest new addition to Bluewater. And the US style diner Big Easy is moving into the shopping centre in Greenhithe near Dartford next month. It's the company's first outlet outside of London, and along with the food offering, they will see, two-floor restaurant boasting a huge range of 500 bourbons, and they don't mean biscuits, tequila and whiskies. I once did a show on whiskey investment, do you remember?
Yep.
Scottish and Irish. And separate rum bar. I would like that. I do like
No. See, I didn't know that. And you were moaning at the start of that. I don't like this food.
Well, no, it's shopping malls I don't like. But you'd have to have a chauffeur, wouldn't you, to have to go and taste all that?
Of course.
The tooth or a friend that's teetotal.
Yeah.
I know one. There's a 236-seat restaurant, and it takes its design inspiration from the American Gulf Coast states. The theatre kitchen at the heart of the restaurant will offer dishes of barbecue classics, fresh lobster, cocktail, beer and wine list, daily bottomless food specials, weekend bottomless brunch and live bands every night. So that sounds like a humdinger. You know, when I went to Savannah, I said to the concierge, I said, I lost £9 to come here to America, knowing what the food was.
That's
like
cheap.
In Savannah. And
was it a Ryanair flight?
No, but I knew in anticipation of the food. And so then I said, and I've now put on £12 in 1 week. And he said, £12? Honey, you're just getting started. And then we had this plate of food served up, and there was this sort of lump of white, looked like dumpling or something. And I said, what's this white stuff? He said, that's fat.
Fat.
It was just a lump of fat.
Yeah, it's good for you.
To eat. Yeah, of course, natural fat. But you do put on weight down there, down south.
Absolutely.
Finger licking.
Martin from Collector's Buddy, Buddy_Museum on the Twitter. I'd love a shout out on today's Business Bunker Show, please. We'll try and listen live around getting our kids' homeworks done. Have a cracking show.
He's always doing their homework.
Yeah, I know. You need to let them do it, Martin.
Yeah, I might phone the school.
Keep doing it for them. Yeah.
I might phone the school. And Cityway Osteopath has said it's so great to finally be on the iconic business bunker. A little happy face and a thank you. And they also say, don't miss the moment David and Chris shoot to fame today at 1 p.m. on the Business Bunker show with Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin.
And the lovely Kim Stevens of Karen Kent, she said, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker show, please. Do you love helping others? Ever thought about becoming a carer? If you said yes, then you could be the one we're looking for. They're looking for carers or people that want to train as carers. If you'd be interested in that, you can give them a call on Ashford 01233 619530. That's Ashford 01233 619530. And that's the lovely Kim Stevens, Karen Kent, if you want to follow Kim on the Twitter.
And
I've got a tweet from Paragon Drones as well.
Oh, what are they saying?
They say, Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin, have a great show. Tuesdays with cheesy tunage wouldn't be the same without it. A mention would be very much appreciated, please. That's Paragon Drones. And you can follow Paragon on Twitter, Paragon Drones, not surprisingly.
I wonder if they're droning at the moment over Kent.
Hmm. Well, I know someone that's droning.
Don't be bitchy. It doesn't suit you.
Yeah, really.
Beacon Plus adults with learning disabilities have opened a new community cafe and bakery in lovely Folkestone, with just 6% of adults with learning disabilities nationally finding paid employment. Support for these young people making the transition from education to work is more vital than ever. To help those making this leap, the Beacon Plus programme has opened this new cafe with young adults from across East Kent where they can develop the skills and the confidence to succeed. Tontine Street and Dover Road, opposite the F51 skate park in Folkestone, is welcomed by the sights and sounds common to any thriving town centre cafe. And all the staff running this cafe are young people with learning disabilities aged from 19 to 25, and they're gaining vital experience as they seek to find their way into work after leaving full-time education. That's a great bit of news there. We love some positive news on the Business Bunker, don't we, Paul Anders?
We certainly do, and that was good stuff. So, what else you got? You can read one more tweet, and then I want to talk to John and Barry.
Okay.
I'm going to read a tweet.
If you want to follow Barry and John in advance of their their interview, they are at 311 Alpha, A-L-P-H-A.
And Chips and Dinks have tweeted as well.
Hello.
Can it be Tuesday already? We're listening to the Business Bunker show. That's Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks. Right, let's talk to someone sensible at long last. It's a pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker show John Sanderson and Barry Thompson. And the last time you were on, guys, was about 2 years ago, which was the kind of near the start of your journey. And you came on and didn't talk to us about anything.
Good to have us back. Thanks for having us back, Paul.
No, it's an absolute pleasure, and we've been looking forward to this for a long, long time.
We've got one from Faversham and one from Whitstable, both my favourite towns.
Yeah, I think they're into a bit more than that, though. I think it isn't just about where they're from, because when we first heard from these guys, they come up with a really stonkingly clever idea, Alpha 311, which is a wind turbine. But it's a very different product. But, of course, it was very early in the journey then, and they weren't able to kind of impart a lot of information to us about it. But now you're going to spill the beans, aren't you, guys? You really are going to tell us everything. So why don't you go back to then and tell us very briefly about how you come up with this idea, and then tell us what the idea is and where you've got to with it after a few years of working really hard to try and bring it forward.
Well, I think last time we were on, we couldn't say so too much because we were going through the process of checking with scientists and all very, very intelligent people, far more intelligent than we are, with regard to actually, will this work? Mm. Are we on the right track? And 2 years later, yes, it will, and yes, we were. So Alpha 311 was born out of the need to, at the time, stop Kent County Council from turning off streetlights to save money.
Right.
Because obviously, it was a cost. Driving up and down a motorway, you can see the impact that air that's displaced by vehicles has on just on the foliage by the side of the road. And if you've ever been by on a footpath and a bin lorry's gone past or a bus has gone past, you've felt that air.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, the Alpha 311 turbine is designed to capture that airflow. But if you put it in the middle of a highway, that airflow is moving in two directions at the same time.
Yep.
So you're doubling the airspeed impacting the turbine. Now, a standard wind turbine, in order to get more energy out of it, you've got to make it bigger.
Right.
So it has to go taller because the blades are longer.
Yep.
You double the size of the turbine or the swept area, you get double the amount of energy. If you double the airspeed, you get eight times as much volume of air that can be converted into electricity. Now, the science behind it is a small car travelling at 50 displaces air at 5.4 metres per second going in one direction. But so does the same size car travelling at 50 coming in the opposite direction.
Yep.
So obviously we came up with the basic concept. We worked with some very clever people, some scientists, Institute of Thermofluids. And the best solution is actually to retrofit a turbine onto an existing lighting column, because every lighting column is already connected to the grid.
Right, okay.
So most of your infrastructure is already in place.
Right.
So we've worked for now 3 years just to perfect that technology.
Right.
And in August of this year, we've started the preparations for the trials on the O2 Arena. And they currently have three turbines on one of the cylinders at the O2 Arena. If you're going across the Emirates cable car system, you can look down and you can see our turbines.
Oh, wow.
So we've really come a long way. Hmm. It's hard work.
Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. Just Barry John, paint us a picture of what this, you know, you made reference, Barry, to the fact that wind turbine technology, conventional wind technology, requires dirty great pylons to handle, you know, 50-foot blades to, you know, so there's ground clearance. Your product is a completely different product. Just describe it, paint a picture for the listeners of what your product actually looks like.
So, yeah, absolutely. The conventional offshore, as you say, are very windmill-looking things, massive, great things. And as Barry mentioned, they need to be bigger in order to get more energy out of them. We took a different route. We wanted to go for a horizontal.
Vertical.
Sorry, that's a half horizontal. We're going for a vertical. See, it's early. I've not had enough coffee. And it basically, it looks like I'm showing my age now, an old air filter in a car.
Yep, yep.
So you've got all the vanes coming off from the centre. Well, think of one of those, but just taller.
Right.
And that's basically the concept that we have. So we have different blades all around the outside. And as a car passes or a vehicle passes, it will impact that and it will rotate around an existing column, street line.
So, in terms of height, how big is this thing?
So, the first versions that we have now are just about a metre tall.
Right, so 3 feet.
Yeah,
so in old money.
3 feet tall, but we can go up two further tiers, so it's modular.
Right.
So, depending on the location, you can add another blade assembly and make it 2 metres tall, or add another one and then make it 3 metres tall.
Yeah.
And then the same vein as the horizontal access turbines, the larger the swept area or the surface area of the turbine, the more energy you can produce.
Yeah.
But we use a particular type of generator because we can't have a shaft because there's a lighting column through the middle of it.
Right.
So we use a particular type of direct drive alternator to generate electricity.
Okay.
And that means there's no gearing, so there's very, very little noise.
Okay. So this is an order of magnitude smaller than a conventional wind turbine, but generating similar amounts of power?
Not compared to the great big, great big ones. But it's, I think the scientists said it's the equivalent of 20 square metres of solar panels per turbine.
Right, okay.
So 300.
So it's packing a punch, basically.
Yes. Yeah. And it's got a road filled with them.
Exactly.
It's the cumulative effect of all those.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime you're driving down a road and a motorway and you see lighting columns in the central reservation, we could pull a turbine on every single one of them.
Right. So this is me saying this. So basically, you've got a road And in the central reservation is a line of streetlights, and each one of them has got an Alpha turbine in them. My car driving down that road is powering that turbine.
Correct.
Jules coming the other way is also powering those turbines.
Correct.
But as I go past each one, I'm powering each one, and the car behind me is doing exactly the same. So you've got this constant stream of power being generated, whether the wind's blowing or not, it's immaterial, you know, because conventional wind turbines, again, are very susceptible to having no wind, yeah? Whereas we're generating our own wind here, and this is where Jules comes in, because she's brilliant at generating her own wind.
Well, I was going to say my greyhound,
yeah.
But it does the downward dog, it's extremely windy.
See, I had to work really hard to make that stupid joke, didn't I? Anyway, seriously though, you know, this is a seriously, seriously clever product that you guys have come up with here.
Well, the A299 between Faversham and Manston Airport.
So Constant traffic.
We measured it. So there's 1,100 lighting columns.
Really?
It's 16.3 miles long.
Right.
That could generate gigawatts of energy.
Yeah.
Just by the traffic. And there's 35,000 vehicles that use that particular road per year.
Yeah. You know, and to me, this is just beautiful karma, yeah, because, you know, we're talking about cars being, you know, not really good for the environment, and then all of a sudden we're talking about cars generating green energy outside of the car itself, you know, so just using the movement of the car.
So just imagine if they were electric cars.
Well, exactly, yeah, you know, it becomes...
100%.
It becomes more and more self-sufficient as you develop it, and of course... The more electricity we can generate and the more energy we can generate from green sources such as this, the better it becomes. So,
yeah. This is wasted energy. This is a byproduct of a vehicle moving forward.
Yeah.
And if you've ever felt that bus go past, it's not directly as the bus has gone past you. You're feeling it about 1.5 to 2 seconds afterwards. So that energy is not attached to the vehicle anymore.
Yeah.
And you're feeling that.
It's interesting. I used to run a motor racing team, and in motor racing, the air hole behind a car is well known. That if you want to overtake someone, what you do is you get in their slipstream, because the power they're generating will catapult you past the car in front.
Yeah,
and vice, you know, and on and on and on. So those air pockets behind moving vehicles are a well known phenomena in aerodynamics. But there are so many things to like about this, but and I want to kind of talk about where you've got to. We kind of haven't got a huge amount of time to do it, but and there's so many things going on. So you know, the whole of this concept was originally to put it in lighting columns on the roads, but I know that you guys have been talking to organisations around the world about doing different things. Just give us an overview of where you've actually got to with the product.
So the Mark 11 is what's on the O2.
Right.
The Mark 12, which is in design and development now, has the new alternator, the new generators on them, which should help us be able to produce even more energy. We are about to move into a facility in Swalecliff, which will be R&D and first assembly.
Right.
We're talking...
Is that the one on the bend, Barry?
It is.
Okay, so you're near... I think there's a wall bit further on that I was talking to, and there's an apple place there, isn't there, on
there
that
is,
big
yes,
thing?
Yeah. Okay. So we're near there.
Brilliant.
We're near there.
So what have you got, a warehouse, do you think?
It's a workshop in the first floor, so...
Oh, I'll come along. Shall I go along with the Business Bunker microphone?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we do love a live thing.
We've had to, the landlord's done some cracking remedial work for us so we can move parts up and down without having to carry stuff up staircases, etc. So we're moving in there. The team is close to 20 strong, and that's in the UK and in the US. We are in the middle of a seed round, which is a lot of money with lots of zeros.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
And we're looking at, with the organisations we're talking to now, we're looking at a Q2 of next year where we're starting to put...
Can I ask, and you don't have to answer this honestly if you don't want to. I mean, with a concept such as yours, you have to explain it to people. And I'm not talking about investors, because investors tend to be reasonably shrewd about things like that. I'm talking about potential customers, you know, like local authorities that are responsible for highways and stuff like that. What's the conversations like? Are you finding it easy to explain what you do, or are people just generally talking to you because it's green, but they're not necessarily understanding? What's the situation?
It's a mix. I mean, Barry has most of the conversations, but I'll give you my view of it. It's a mix. A lot of them are coming to us.
Right.
A hell of a lot of them are coming to us because they've seen us on a media piece or they've seen us on LinkedIn or something like that. Mm. So they're coming to us to see what they can do. Mm. But some of them just don't get it either.
Right.
And we're not going to name names, but, you know, there are areas of the country that just don't get it.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
What do you mean government?
Local government.
Are you banging your head up with frustration?
Not really, Jules, because we've got other people that are banging our door down.
Yeah. Okay, so who are the people banging your door down?
So there's a mix. We've got everything from stadium owners to large-scale commercial entities.
Brilliant.
Yeah, the price of business electricity is through the roof.
Right.
There's no cap on business electricity, so they're feeling the strain. Mm. So anything that they can do in order to reduce their energy costs has got to be lauded.
Of course, they tend
to be in collaboration, so it's not just our turbines, it's a mix of solar and wind,
yep,
potentially even then with energy storage as well, because if you can store it when you're not using it, you're going to get the best bang for your buck. Hmm. But there are so many, and from so many different sectors as well.
Right.
But the key to what we're doing, and I think this is the biggest driver, is the commercial elements of this help to drive down the price of the turbines.
Yeah.
A prototype of anything costs a lot of money because
you're
only ordering single parts of things. Mm. But as we're scaling up and we start to see we're ordering 1,000 sets of bearings or 1,000 sets of blade assembly units, we see the benefit of that ordering in bulk and we pass that on to the customer. And that's where local authorities get the best benefit.
Yeah,
because it's cheaper. But we don't sell energy. We make and build wind turbines, but we don't sell the energy. Those turbines are leased, and they're leased per month, and the cheaper we can get them, the cheaper that lease will be.
Right.
The more turbines that we install, the cheaper they will become. But the energy is owned by the leaseholder.
Right.
So if we're generating electricity at 10 kilowatt hours per day per turbine, as an example, that's just natural airflow. But if that's what we're producing per turbine, that's the local authorities to sell or to use. So if they're selling that to an energy provider, the energy provider knows it's green, so they don't need a REGO certificate for it because it's come from this location. Mm. But that's revenue for the local council.
Right.
So it's a secondary revenue stream.
Right.
Now, we're collecting data, atmospheric data, information like that, traffic flow information. We've even been asked, can we monitor the vibrations in the road?
Right, okay.
Because the highways department then knows that if the vibration levels are increasing, they need to repair the road.
Yeah, potholes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Air quality sensors, as an example, don't need to be DEFRA quality air quality sensors because you're measuring it all the time.
Yeah.
You're not just measuring it once or twice a year.
Yeah.
So then you can start adding health benefits. So the data element for us is much more important.
Right. Okay.
We actually put less value on the electricity.
Right.
So what we're now doing is we're helping to provide or produce locally generated electricity, which then helps the most needy of people.
All right.
Now, we have been strong advocates for action against what is effectively called fuel poverty or even energy poverty.
Yep.
Now, fuel poverty is where you have access to electricity, but you can't afford it.
Yep.
900 million people in the world are impacted by fuel poverty.
Yep.
The pandemic alone would push another 100 million people in Africa into that bucket. So that's 1 billion people.
Wow.
You've then got around 1 billion people who have access or intermittent access to electricity around the world. Yeah. So it's not sustained at all. So constant blackouts. And then you've got 2.7 billion people who have no electricity, no access to it, and they have to burn coal, kerosene or biomass in order just to provide cooking and heating. Mm. So that's 4.7 billion people have a problem with electricity on this planet.
Yeah. You see this in Africa. I mean, one of the interesting things about Africa, especially East Africa, is they managed to make banking purely through a thing called an M-Pesa app, which is a mobile phone app, which enables people to earn money outside of conventional routes of money transfer, and works very well. But of course, people have to keep their mobile phones charged.
Absolutely.
And that's not an easy thing.
But people think fuel poverty is a problem in developing nations. Mm. They don't realise that it's very real here.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, Scotland, hosting COP26 in 2 weeks, 25% of all households are in fuel poverty. A quarter of the population. In England, it's 13%.
Mm.
In Kent, we're looking at 8%. But in Thanet, that's 10% of all households are in fuel poverty.
Mm.
Now, come this winter, those people are going to have to make a decision. Do I feed my family or do I heat my home?
Mm.
If we're producing locally generated electricity by using our roadways as a source, you're reducing the transmission distance.
Mm.
If I've got a massive wind turbine farm out 8, 20, 25 miles out at sea, I've got to step that current up each mile and a half in order to bring that onshore, and then it's got to travel another 90 miles into the main grid.
Yeah.
But if you can produce any locally generated electricity, it goes directly into the local grid.
Absolutely.
Which means it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And we can have that impact.
One of the things that I'm passionate about in terms of green energy is self-sufficiency of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is there a point in the future where I could come along and go, I want to lease one of your turbines and put it on my front gatepost?
I'd like to think
that
there's
a list, Paul, I'm afraid.
quite a list. I'd like to think there's a point in the future where we would be asking you to take one of our turbines.
Yeah.
So our turbines are made of carbon fibre. Yeah. It's incredibly light.
Yeah.
The middle of it only turns. It's not the entire thing that turns. So we're having to do less work to start generating electricity. But in my office, we have a thermoplastic version, and that's made from waste plastic.
Wow.
Okay. Wow, that's brilliant.
Now, the difference in price between a carbon fibre version, and I think we over-engineered it, didn't we? Because it was Formula One grade carbon fibre that we used. £3,500 for the materials. For the thermoplastic, waste plastic, you're looking at £4.
Right.
To make the same thing.
I'm going to tell you this because I need to say, at the moment, before the price hikes, I'm paying £500 a month for my energy bills. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the kind of prices you're talking about, I'm going, yeah, I can handle that. I can handle
that.
See
why we've got quite a lot of interest.
Yeah, exactly.
In a very selfish way, and not the right approach, but we're having more people come to us.
Yeah.
We really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We've done no marketing.
Right.
We have an opinion on LinkedIn, mostly on LinkedIn.
This is marketing, by the way.
Oh, this is marketing.
Yeah.
But other people are talking about us.
Mm.
Yeah. We've been featured on Bloomberg. We've been featured in Greenpeace.
Greenpeace
in Netherlands featured us as well. But they're coming to us and doing pieces.
Mm.
So we know we're on the right track.
Yeah.
The investment we're bringing in now, it just enables us to scale.
Hmm.
And the amount of orders that we have stacking up means that we can start charging less for the turbines.
Right.
And that's the key. So ultimately, Alpha 311 is trying to reduce the price of electricity by providing it locally.
Well, I was saying to Paul last week, my mum, I went round to see her and she had the heating off. She's 91 on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, my dad said on his deathbed, keep the house warm, don't sit in cold. And she said, oh, the price is going up and that. You know, it's ridiculous because like many elderly, all her money is in her house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So her pension is quite low. And I said to her, for God's sake, mum, put the heating on. But she's sitting there without the heating. Crazy.
In the UK, we've got 28% of all... in England, 28% of all households that are in fuel poverty are single-parent families.
Mm. Yeah.
20% are people over 60.
Mm.
And of that 20%, 10% of them are over 60s who live by themselves.
Yeah.
Now, we do a really crap job of looking after our elderly.
Tell me about it.
So why not provide locally generated, cheap electricity to them in the winter?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's loads of issues around this, isn't there? The fact that we've charged tax on energy and,
which is a nonsense.
It's just, and then on the other hand, we hand out some subsidies to farmers to put up a wind turbine
Don't
or whatever.
Give me on subsidies.
Yeah, let's not start on that.
I'd get angry.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think about the awful Graveney solar farm that they put, or factory as I call it? Because I'm totally against that. I think it's awful that they're using, you know, destroying wildlife basically to generate electricity. And I think those solar factories only last 20 years, and somebody makes a lot of money from it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not a fan of PPAs.
No.
So power purchase agreements are where somebody is guaranteeing that you will pay this amount for your energy from that place for the next 25 years.
Mm.
Well, we think that stinks because renewable energy should get cheaper.
Yeah.
Going to subsidies, wind turbines, subsidized to put them in.
Mm.
Guaranteed price for every megawatt they produce. And if there's no demand, there's compensation for not producing electricity.
Yeah. Mm.
They get paid three times.
Yeah.
That's got to stop.
Yeah.
Who's our energy minister?
I couldn't tell you.
Well, we need to get you guys in front of Boris, don't we? Really?
Yeah. The
tweet in if you know.
Wasn't it the guy that used to own YouGov, the polling company? I can't remember his name. And he was the guy that told us we weren't going to get vaccinated, and then we were. Him. He's the current energy minister, isn't he? I think so.
Because you've been on Bloomberg, for example, brilliant. Have you been able to get in front of any of the ministers?
I had a meeting with the cabinet office a week and a half ago.
Brilliant.
And that's the first. The first step, really. We've had meetings with the UK Investment Bank, which were fantastic, except they don't have a risk officer.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have a risk officer and you're a bank, you can't lend money. So there's a problem. Now, they've got $4 billion in order to fund green projects and levelling up north,
etc. So it's just sloshing around there and they'll waste it.
It's just sat there.
They'll waste it.
Mm.
And it's not that we're saying give it to us. What we're saying is give it to lots of different people.
Yeah.
Let's look at collaborative ways of working. You know, there's Connected Energy is a fantastic company. They're based in Norfolk. They use Second Life EV batteries to create battery storage.
Right.
That's a fantastic idea. Let's do more of that.
Yeah.
They need funding, so go fund them.
Mm.
The Earthshot Prize is another example. There's some great ideas there, but only five winners.
Yeah.
Okay. So why doesn't governments in those countries give the other people money?
But for me, the problem here is so endemic. You know, you see it over and over and over and over and over again with things that government does when it starts to chuck around taxpayers' money for things. It seeks the easy way out of this, and it seeks the headline way out of it. If I can give XYZ Corporation £1 billion, yeah, then I'll prefer to do that rather than give £500 million to 40 small innovative companies.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like herding cats and I can't be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it all goes wrong when that big mega corporation doesn't produce anything. But hey, we tried anyway.
It's a bit like our track and trace.
It's like everything government touches. Yeah. They can't be bothered. The problems with government is they think short term. Yeah, because their election cycles are so short.
Yeah,
5 years and then I'm off. Yeah. So, you know, investing in the long term of anything is just not something they do because the returns on it are way past where they can get the kudos for having done it. Yeah.
Well, there's the government has the Future Fund.
Yeah.
Currently.
Yeah.
And in the last 2 years, 75% of all recipients of that money were within 5 miles of Whitehall. Where's the levelling up?
Yeah.
You know, there are great ideas up and down the country.
Yeah.
The appetite for risk in this country is shockingly low.
Yeah.
The bulk of our investment, and there are some amazing people who are investing in us in this country, but the bigger numbers are coming elsewhere.
Mm.
It's not in this country.
Mm. Absolutely. But I don't want to dwell on the negatives too much because it's easy to do because there are a lot in terms of what politicians do or don't do. But the fact is you guys have developed a product and this product has arrived at market at a level and it works.
Yep.
And it does what you thought it was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a product here that really should be, you know, front and center of everything that we're doing in the green market. As not the only product, because there are lots of other different things going on, but and that's great and fine. But you have a product that works. You have a product that's cheap, relatively, and will get cheaper as you mass manufacture it. But the thing I love about it is it's so obvious. It's such a beautifully brilliant system that all you got to do is put it in an existing lamppost and off you go. I just don't understand why the entire country isn't littered with Alpha 311 turbines at the moment. I really don't.
Well, I can tell you exactly why, because we're dealing with one council in the Northwest and they are superb. Oh, my God. They've even put a project team on it already.
Great.
We haven't even got an LOI done yet.
Like, what's an LOI?
Letter of intent.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So, but they've already recognised, right, so, okay, you need to deal with this department in the council, plus eight others, plus then UK Power Networks, plus Highways, plus, and the list goes on. But you've got to start somewhere in having those conversations. You can't just go to somebody in county council and say, right, I want to talk to the person who looks after the streetlights, because that is just one small department.
Yep.
You've got to be thinking at the chief exec level of what are the benefits of doing this to my county or to my town, and what can we do with those benefits?
Yeah.
And that's the key. It's a case of if we lease a turbine or a number of turbines to your town, what's the benefits to you? And it's not just the power, it's the data as well. Do you want the traffic flow information? So that helps you phase your traffic lights before congestion even gets to your town.
Yeah.
Do you want the air quality information? Do you want the road sensor details? There's all this other data that there's other pots of money.
Yeah.
So you're paying for your turbines from budgets you already have.
Yeah. But no, it's okay. We can sort it because we're just going to put car parking prices up again.
Yeah, exactly.
What can you say? I love what you guys have done. I know how hard you've worked and how much work you've still got to do on getting this done. So we have tremendous respect for what you've done.
Well, I'll tell you now, we have an amazing team of people.
They are amazing.
Some of those have worked completely free of charge for a number
and
of years.
And long may that continue. If you're listening, I'm only joking.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't be able to do it without them. But yeah, on a positive note, literally, when the O2 announced in March that they were putting our turbines on the O2, okay, there was all the
accolade. Yeah.
There was more than accolade. There was hate mail.
Really?
Gosh, yeah.
Why?
Because people don't understand all of the details around it.
Hate mail.
Oh yeah, yeah. I had a couple of people who tell me exactly what they'd like to do to me.
Well, what was their reasoning?
Again, just didn't understand. They just didn't understand.
It's never going to work. You've stolen my idea. I'm just trying to think of a cherry pick of
that. That was my favourite one. I thought of this 15 years ago in my head. You stole my
idea.
They
live among us, Jules. They really do. They live among us, these people.
Yeah.
But that announcement sparked 3,500 different entities. Some of those are massive corporations, a lot of people who want them for their houses, all to reach out and say, yes, we like what you're doing. Best of luck with what you're doing, and we either want to be involved or we want to buy them. And some of these companies are billion dollar companies, and oil companies at that.
Chaps, we could talk about this forever.
Yeah.
We could talk about this forever, but sadly, we're running out of time. We wish you continued success
again,
with us.
Thanks for having us back, Paul. Really
it's a pleasure. And we're going to have you back again in the future to fill us in on the next instalment of how this works. When you'll be on Alpha 16 or 17 by then, I would imagine. Where are you at the moment? You're just about to do 11, aren't you?
12.
Okay. 12. Yeah. So as 16 or 17 ticks around, I'll be in touch again and say, come back and tell us about where you are now.
And can I have one?
Yeah. I've been desperate since I first heard about this a few years ago. I want one. And you're going to, at some point in the future, Barry, I'm coming up your house or Swalecliff or somewhere, and I'm just going to get one because I'm having one. I've told you this before.
I want to know just about your house, though. With your house, have you got solar panels?
No, I don't.
Have you got little helicopters on the roof and things?
No, we ran a couple of prototype turbines for a year and a half on my office at home. Mm. But that formed the concept of where we are now, and now we're manufacturing them up in Coventry.
I'm just thinking of adding a load of solar to my thing, so I might talk to you, because you do know about that. You know, you are the big wigs in the business.
Yeah, anything you can do to reduce your
bills.
Your own footprint, but more importantly, reduce your bills.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be. Yeah. Mm. And if you can couple that with a battery storage solution, then when people as we return back to the office and people are out all day, then that energy is stored for you to use at overnight time. Mm. Yeah. Can I just say a shout out to Amy Hopper?
Of course.
So Amy is she's off on a bit of a tour.
She is, I've been following her on Instagram.
On her way to Vienna. But she's supporting the Widowed and Young charity and hoping to convince a lot more people to travel solo and do the things that they probably always wanted to do with their partners. Mm. So a huge shout out to Amy.
Okay.
And I note that Valerie Jameson, who's a Fusion Technology Cluster Manager at UKAEI, she's an ex-particle physicist, she's been tweeting you as well. So she was tweeting about your thing with Bobby, your truck thing.
And she's a fusion technologist, is she? I've just given her the heads up and on tokamak technology, that's what it is.
She said about their... And it was an article about their thingy bobbies, harnessing wind from passing trucks. She said, found this feature about old wind turbines fascinating, especially the idea of harnessing wind from passing trucks using small vertical turbines made by 311 Alpha fitted to lampposts and mobile masts.
There you go.
So the mobile mast one is interesting. Very, very quickly. So an energy company in Pakistan provides power to 35,000 mobile cell phone towers, but they use diesel generators.
All right, okay.
So they want to put turbines on the cell phone tower itself and save just on the logistics costs of topping up the diesel generators.
Absolutely, Guys, thank you so much for updating us on where you are with Alpha 311. We love what you're doing. It's a fantastic project. It's invented here in Kent, which we should be very proud of, and we should all be supporting you here in Kent as you roll this out. We're going to have you back on the show, on future shows, to update us on where you are. But for the moment, give us a shout out for your website so people can go and have a look at this and see what this turbine looks like.
Yep, they can simply go to
a311.com. A311.com. Yep. Check it out. There's a link on the Business Bunker website. Barry, John, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Do stay with us for the remaining 10 minutes of the show. But for the moment, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Right. I'm going to do the uninterrupted FSB news.
Yeah, I'll have my thyroid.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Entries are now open for the Celebrating Small Business Awards 2022. We're celebrating the achievements, successes and resilience of small businesses and the self-employed across the UK, and you're invited. Whether you're shortlisted for one of 12 local awards or make it all the way to a spectacular UK final, it's time to put your business in the spotlight and show us what you're made of. It's free to enter, so what are you waiting for? If you go to www.fsbawards.co.uk, you can find out all about it and you can nominate your business. I've got a number of events that are happening. I'm going to tell you all about the events, and then at the end of that, I'm going to give you the link to find out more about each of the events or to book your place on them. On Friday the 22nd of October, there's the Kent BAME Networking. It's Black History Month, and this is a Black History Month special. Join us for talks and a Q&A from three business owners from Kent and the South East who will discuss their successes and experiences of being an ethnic minority business owner. The event is hosted by FSB member Gemma Fairclough-Haynes. So that's the 22nd of October. That's this Friday. On the 26th of October, Delivering Disability Equality Through Small Businesses. Next Tuesday, 26th of October, 12 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the FSB. We know from our own research that small businesses already punch well above their weight in terms of providing opportunities for people with disabilities. This session explores how good practice, new technologies and better understanding can deliver massive benefits to disabled people and the small businesses that employ and serve them. On Friday the 9th of Friday the 5th of November, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. there's a Q&A breakfast meeting with Sir Roger Gale, the MP for North Thanet. On Monday the 15th of November, COP26 Sustainability and Carbon Footprint Reduction Strategy for Kent SMEs. This in-person event will be a workshop and include networking with small business owners and sole traders. There'll also be an opportunity to discuss electric vehicles and to try out Kent County Council's electric vans for hire. So that's Monday the 15th of November. On Wednesday the 17th of November, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m, networking, Let's Talk Technical. You're invited to a new virtual networking group focusing on small businesses in the engineering, manufacturing and transport sectors. This is a national network designed to grow your contacts within this sector and to give you the opportunity to discuss topics important to you. We meet on the third Wednesday of every month for an hour, and that's online. On Tuesday the 2nd of November at 10 a.m, there's Small Business Virtual Conference, The Journey to Net Zero, at the COP26 Climate Talks will take place soon in the UK. We have the perfect opportunity to explore the significant role small businesses will and must urgently play in the transition to net zero. Join us for this cutting-edge FSB conference to find out what it all means and what's in it for you as a small business. That, I think, is all the events to tell you about. Yes, it is. And you can find all of those plus any upcoming events by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. There's a full calendar of events there, all with more details on each of those events, plus a link for each of them to book your place. There's help with digital technology and starting and succeeding in business. The South East Local Enterprise Partnership is offering two schemes to help with digital technology and starting and succeeding in business. And you can arrange a one-to-one call to talk about it. If you go to digital.wsxenterprise.co.uk. That's digital.wsxenterprise.co.uk.
Good job you had the horse's teeth in there.
Absolutely.
Tenterden Chamber have tweeted in, hello to you, and they say new members joining to access the Tenterden card scheme designed to increase footfall for your business. I think they mean welcome there, but they've got lots of new members joining. So if you're in that area, as Paul Andrews is, do follow Tenterden Chamber, or indeed if you're a visitor, and you'll find them at Tent Chamber.
And we do have some good networking events there as well.
Yes.
There's grants for the low carbon economy. Locase for the low carbon economy in the South East offers grants of up to 10 grand to SMEs in the South East. Check your eligibility. You can check your eligibility even by going to locase.co.uk.
And also, Tenterden say more Tenterden card offers are being created by members to promote their businesses. Have I read that? I didn't, did I? So that's the Old Dairy Brewery, I think, and there's lots of offers. So you can get, you live there, Paul, you can get offers if you nip into a shop, can you?
You can, yeah. What happens is they send you a list as a member.
Little stamp
on the card. No. They send you a list of people and what they're offering at any given time. So you might get 10% off, or you might get a free pint of beer, or, know. There are all kinds of different offers, so you have to keep watching for what's on offer and where it's on offer.
Yeah. And Booker Wyatt, hello to you. They're on the Twitter and they say they're taking the hassle out of your accounts and bookkeeping, providing you with more time to focus on other important aspects of your business. You can find them on Booker Wyatt, WYAWT.co.uk.
Did you read this one from Casey K9? How about a shout out for a greyhound pining for Darcy? Did you know? Yeah.
Well, you know that my greyhound is the only greyhound in the world that won't walk.
Yeah.
So and yesterday we had to sort of stalk this Dalmatian and walk behind it, and there was a lovely couple having.
And Casey K9 had to have a new Twitter handle because her idiot owner got a new phone and forgot to transfer the old one to it.
No.
Yeah.
Well, don't they know their password?
Well, I don't know. That's what I saw. That's what I heard. Oh, but okay. I'm not one to pass judgment on things like that.
Pass nasturtiums.
Yeah, yeah. IFF Kitchen, have you read that?
No, you can.
IFF Kitchen, hello Jules and Vanilla Web. We're cooking up a storm of delicious meals ready to deliver to our super customers whilst listening to the Business Bunker show. Please give us a shout out. So there you go.
You've done it.
Yeah.
Richard Shawney did a good one. So he's at Retail Mentoring. Like us, he's a firm supporter of SMEs and the high street. And he says he found this 2 years ago. It's a slate sign outside a local butcher's. And it says, have a look in butcher's opposite before you go into Tesco. So they've obviously put it outside Tesco. And it's true because, you know, Tesco Metro, you'll know this, guys, but they position their shops in the high street opposite a local butcher or baker. And because it's so easy to go in Tesco and get your fresh, you know, your flowers because they're cheap. But we've got where our Tesco Metro is in Tankerton.
Yep.
There's a flower shop, a baker's, a butcher's, coffee shop.
Fantastic.
And
butchers.
We need to use them. Mm. So I always think twice before I go into Tesco Metro. Can I get it locally rather than going to the small.
I'm
going to
catch up on some tweets from the first part of the show, actually.
Yeah, do that.
Tangent Office, who were listening to City Way Health. We do DSE assessments and supply office furniture. Some great advice been given out, office chairs and things like that. And they also caught up with your little thing, listening to Vanilla Webern and the Woomban. Jill Serkin, do you see what I did there? The womb man.
Who is that?
It's Tangent Office, which is Chanda Sharma.
Okay, well, I am a woman.
Well, apparently are, yeah.
I'm sure that's where it came from.
No, it's not. And they've also said enjoyed the Business Bunker show with the womb man, Jill Serkin. Stop going off at a tangent, otherwise we might demand royalties. That's from Tangent Office. So, yeah, quite right too, Chandra. Quite right too. She's a nightmare. I don't know what I'm going to do about her.
I think I get worse. That's the trouble.
Oh, you certainly do. Yeah, it's your age, darling.
I know.
Yeah.
And yours. There's a business forum in Tunbridge Wells that's finally met in person after more than a year of meetings on Zoom. More than 35 local business owners and professionals finally gathered at Sankey's in the town for E.N. Twine, which was
Entwine.
Entwine, clever.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the wine word.
Yeah, that's what threw you, wasn't it?
Yeah, which was created a year ago during the second wave of the pandemic. The forum was created by Lynn Gadsden from Grovewood Wealth Management, Pam Loch from Loch Associates, often on Business Bunker, and Victoria Sampson from Cooper Burnett. And so they're well done, guys, for getting back. How nice to see everybody in the flesh.
And we've reached the end of another show. We'll be back next week with another show. Do listen to the Business Bunker Extra Show on Thursday, where I'm joined by Deborah Corway of the Department of Work and Pensions, talking about Job Centre Plus Kickstart Scheme. So that's this Thursday at 1 o'clock. I want to say a huge thank you to David and Chris from City Way Osteopaths, to John and Barry of Alpha 311.
The little helicopters on their head.
To the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.